Life's better with American Family Insurance because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Hello and welcome to the Top Order Podcast. We had a must-win game for Bangladesh and Pakistan overnight, which felt like it was decided within the first few overs. What does that mean for Pakistan's World Cup chances? Plus, we'll look ahead to tonight's big clash between South Africa and New Zealand. All that and probably a bit more coming up right after the swish. All right, Raj. A must-win game, but potentially not the most exciting game of this World Cup. I'm tempted to sit here and talk to you about Samsung TV Plus. I made a fantastic discovery last night as I was sort of turning the TV on about 9 o'clock. I turned my newish Samsung TV on. For all listeners, it's about the cheapest version you can get after my 2-year-old. Broke the TV by throwing a wooden dice at it, which was very unfortunate. But suddenly I found this cricket gold channel and India was playing Australia in the 1985 World Series. Richie Beno was on comms. Max Walker was commentating as well. And I sort of thought, do I even want to switch over the channel? And by the time I did, Bangladesh was two down and the game seemed all over. So yeah, perhaps I should have just stayed watching that game, watching Roger Binney run into David Boone.
I definitely felt your excitement. I came back to my phone with it blowing up about 20 messages about how good this channel was, and I felt like I was getting the ball by ball commentary from you as well. Yeah. But nonetheless, we moved to the World Cup, more current times. Great win for Pakistan. Some outstanding performances with both the bat and ball. But I was left with the feeling that the result was more indicative of the struggles that Bangladesh are having rather than how well Pakistan played in that game.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, yeah, I said, it was all over within the first few overs. And I mean, you know, it really did feel like that. Shaheen Shah Afridi picks up wicket in the first over, goes again in the second over. Great little catch from Usama Mir, the drop of David Warner. The other day looks a bit weird now when he's taking catches like that. But, you know, they start to, you know, hit a couple of boundaries off Harris Rauf and you think, okay, maybe they can get going here. But, you know, lose another wicket and suddenly three down. And it was, you know, I guess they did build a partnership, but it does feel like the way Bangladesh has been playing, it just felt like it was over. And I mean, even though you must have been pleased with Bangladesh's batting order, they did make a few changes, shifted those guys up the order a little bit.
Yes, I think Baldy must have sent the podcast through to the Bangladeshi team management. I like the look of that 3-6 with Shanto, Rahim, Mamadullah and Shakib, you know, sort of in that 3-6 spot. They look much better. But yeah, as you said, you know, Bangladesh batting first being reduced to 3-23. With one of those wickets being Mushfiqur Rahim, it was close to being over. I think Shakib and Mamadullah batted really well. Who was there? Was
Litton Das?
It was Litton Das. Well. Sorry, Litton Das and Mamadullah batted well to recover there, and Shakib coming in as well, scoring some runs. A little bit, I felt like both of those partnerships were a bit circumspect, a bit slower. They didn't really have the chance to, as I say, explode towards that sort of 50-over mark with the bat. But look, I go back to that feeling that I think Bangladesh are just in a world of hurt at the moment from a confidence perspective. I think they have the skills to take on any team when they're playing well, but at the moment they're just not playing well. Anything else stand out to you in that bowling, the Pakistani bowling innings?
I think Shaheen Shah Afridi is interesting. I really have thought throughout this tournament that he wasn't having, you know, a big impact on this tournament. And that's probably fair. I mean, Pakistan have gone 4 losses in a row before this game. They'd stuttered a bit and he'd been someone that, you know, we sort of expect to take those wickets at the top. He's, you know, notorious for getting a wicket in that first over. Mm. And then you look at this, you know, you look at how he's actually gone statistically, and you would suggest, you know, he's now leading wicket taker in the tournament, tied with Adam Zampa. And you think, okay, maybe I'm being a bit harsh here. You know, he came in, I mean, as you say, Bangladesh did put a partnership together. They were, you know, near enough to 100 off 20 overs and for three. And suddenly you think, okay, maybe they can put a bit of a score here. He comes, or well, the softest of soft dismissals from Litton Das happens. And then Shaheen Shah Afridi comes back and bowls an absolute corker to get the fourth wicket. And yeah, just a procession from there.
Yeah, I think Pakistan will be very happy as how they responded sort of after the 30 over mark there. Muhammad Wasim as well was very good at the death. He executed his Yorker really, really well. Hard to score off, and he knocked the stumps over three times. That's what you want from your death bowlers. Just a note on Shaheen Shah Afridi, also the fastest man to 100 wickets in ODIs. It's an incredible list, and he has topped it. So well done to him from the Top Water podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've had a lot of love for him. I think there's a lot of love for him all around the world in what he does. He's, yeah, no, yeah, can't really say enough for how good he is. With Pakistan's bowling effort, I mean, it does still feel like they aren't quite at the top of their game. I mean, it's probably not the most outrageous comment, given that, as I said, they're sort of hanging on for their lives in this tournament. They've lost four on the bounce, although they did end up pushing South Africa very, very close in that game, and have played that most of their losses have been against the top sides, you know, Afghanistan aside, but you know, they are one of the top six sides in this tournament so far. So, you know, what do you think is sort of missing from them in terms of their bowling attack in particular?
Yeah, so for me, it is their spin bowling. I think if you look at the sort of top sides and the top performing sides, their spin bowlers have really sort of come to the fore and been very, very important through the middle of the innings, and taking away that momentum. Shadab Khan was obviously the number one plan A, if you will, to sort of hold that balance in the middle of the innings, and then with the bat, and then also with the ball. But his injury and also his form prior to that, yeah, he was really sort of struggling to bowl well. His batting actually came good. He was contributing with the bat, but yeah, he struggled with the ball, and I think that's indicative of the spinners in general. Usama Mir has bowled okay. It's not sort of, you look at the likes of Zampa, the likes of Adil Rashid, these guys who really have sort of turned games, the Indian spinners. You know, Usama Mir has been okay, but not a match winner for Pakistan with the ball.
Yeah. I mean, he's no Glenn Phillips, is he? He's he just bowls too many loose balls, I think, at the moment, the way he's been going. Certainly in this game, there were long hops, there were full tosses that just got punished. And, you know, yeah, he's a good bowler, but he's just not been at his best. And I think you're spot on that the spin bowling, we sort of thought that it might be a weakness for them, but mainly in terms of wicket-taking options. I kind of thought that their spinners would still be, yeah, with Nawaz and with Shadab Khan, that they would be sort of economical and at least be able to hold their own while those pace bowlers worked around them. But it just hasn't worked that way, and people have been able to get to the spinners, and that's really made it hard for Pakistan to, you know, to restrict sides to gettable totals. They did restrict Bangladesh to a very, very gettable total, and then went about it in pretty good fashion. Anything you want to say on the Pakistan batting side of things?
So the openers, actually, they put the game away. They did what you want them to. If you're a bowler, you've gone out there and you've done the job as the Pakistani bowling unit did. You want your openers to go out there. They found a good tempo eventually of around six and over, but it was a bit block bash. But the net result, I guess, is the same. But it's a good indicator that they could actually wait for a loose ball, and then eventually they got them and they were able to put them away. I actually fell asleep on the couch, and with this game going on, and I was in and out of sleep, and I kept waking up when they would absolutely smash one because it was so loud. I don't know why in that game, but it was so loud. The ball coming off the bat, it sounded like Thor was swinging his massive sledgehammer around when they were smacking some of those some of those sixes. And the other thing I wanted to sort of mention, if you look at the Bangladeshi scorecard versus the Pakistani scorecard, you've got the similar amount of starts, but these guys actually went on with the job, and the Pakistanis got close to that sort of three figures, or, you know, kicking close to it or past it. Unfortunately, they didn't get there, but they were able to add that sort of impetus. Once they got in, they sort of put it away. That was a difference for me.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that sound, you're spot on with that. The one that stuck out to me was the Fakhar Zaman one really early off Tuscan. It just, I don't know what is going on, but his bat sounds very, very good. And yeah, there were a few later on in the innings. I think, you know, we're probably not going to talk in huge detail about this innings, but I think there were so many pleasant shots that Pakistan played. As you say, it was a lot of block bash. They soaked up a lot of dot balls at different times. But I think if you can catch the highlights or maybe even the last 10 overs, 12 overs of that Pakistan chase, it is well worth a watch because, yeah, if you enjoy some good cricket shots, there were plenty out there. And, yeah, as you said, they brought up their 100 in about the 18th over. So, you know, they weren't that far ahead of the run rate, but they just felt in total control. And obviously, when you're only chasing 200, it's a different story. But, yeah, the way they kind of kicked on after that, yeah, Mahidi Hassan picks up 3 wickets. But I think, yeah, I almost think we've kind of said enough about this game because it just wasn't, you know, one of the more exciting games in this tournament.
And it's also hard to judge the Bangladeshi bowling lineup when they're defending 204. It is a lot harder, as you said, less risks need to be taken by the Pakistanis. But yeah, I think we move on to the table and the implications there.
Yeah, so look, Pakistan keep their hopes alive. It's a big net run rate boost for them to get up to 6 points and fifth on the ladder. You know, they were well down the table. They'd lost 4 in a row, as I've said. But then, you know, one win boosts them right up to fifth. But that net run rate's still in the negatives, which is not ideal for them. They've got New Zealand at the weekend and then England after that. I would say they have to win both of those two games, they definitely have to win both of those two games to try and make it, and then hope that run rate and results and things go their way for the rest of this tournament.
Yeah, I mean, 6 wins is going to get you through by the looks of this thing. 5 wins will come down to, we'll get the calculators out and have a look at the net run rate. And incredibly, Afghanistan is one of those teams that could have that sort of fate in their own hands. If they can win 3 games, they have to play Australia, they have to play South Africa, which are big tasks. But if they win those games, they will, you know, almost deserve to get through. You have to say that they would deserve to get through. Australia and New Zealand, fate in their own hands, win games. They don't have to play each other anymore, and they should round out that third and fourth spot if things go to plan for them.
Yeah, and talking about things going to plan for New Zealand, it hasn't quite gone to plan for them the last couple of games. I think probably say, if you're being positive, I think you'd say that we've pushed India and Australia pretty hard in these last 2 games. Obviously, you know, nobody's really pushed India at all, and I think New Zealand could say that they've pushed them as hard as anyone has. Against Australia, huge amount of credit for the way they chased an enormous score. But again, I think if you want to be critical, it was a missed opportunity. I was away for that review that you guys did. I haven't actually heard what you said. But yeah, I think if you want to be really, really harsh on them, they're going to look back at possibly both of those games and think, we could have won them and be sort of in a position now where we can rest players easily, we can kind of work on what we need to nail down for these semi-final spots at the business end of the tournament. But now it's back-to-back losses for New Zealand. I don't think you want to go into this game against Pakistan at the weekend with another loss here, which in my head at least makes this game against South Africa. A lot of people are saying it's not a must-win game. Yes, it isn't a must-win game in terms of them actually qualifying, but I think New Zealand need to get this one if we're going to feel confident about the rest of the tournament.
Yeah, I believe we need to win 2 out of 3. If we don't, we open ourselves up to mathematics getting us in the end like it does. Big game for New Zealand. Just a sort of summary comment on that Australia one. We did talk about it in the preview to the India game. New Zealand is a team that we don't have. We can just isolate New Zealand and go, if we execute our skills well, we will win or be very, very close to winning. I think there was a lot left to be desired, especially in the Australian game. We bowled poorly up front. It took a hero like Glenn Phillips, the hero we all need in our lives, to wrest that back in control for us. And then our fielding was not up to standard, not up to New Zealand standard, and that's not something that is okay. We need to rectify that if we do anything. But again, if we execute our skills, we can beat any team that we play on the day. I was impressed by South Africa's last win against Pakistan. This is a game that's going to give me that biggest clue as to whether South Africa is real. Is this team actually real? It's the type of game in the past where they have lost. South Africa have the momentum going in, maybe slight favoritism, but in the past they've just fallen flat and lost this kind of game at a long-form tournament. So it will give me a little bit of an indication as to whether I'm flipping over, Stu, to your line of thinking on South Africa.
Yeah, it's taking you a while. Everyone else is on board for sure in terms of South Africa being a good side. But yeah, as you say, they've looked really good batting first and then batting second and chasing, being put under a bit of pressure. It does seem like those wobbles are still there if you can sort of find the right ingredients to put them under that pressure. And yeah, it'll be an interesting game, I think, for New Zealand as well, because as I said, I really do feel like they have to win. Pune, it seems like it's going to be a good wicket. New Zealand's got a few injury, niggles now starting to build up. So, yeah, we kind of just need to get back on track here. I feel like it's very, very important.
I do have a question for you, and it's around what you think the New Zealand lineup will look like. Tom Latham, very cagey around what that lineup would look like, talked about fitness tests. Don't know who that's relating to. It could be Mark Chapman. It could be Kane Williamson and Tim Southee. Could we see the return of a few experienced New Zealand cricketers for this game?
I think Lockie's injury will mean that there will be a change to the bowling attack, and whether that's, I think the question there is whether it's Tim Southee or whether it's Ish Sodhi. I do, as much as I think they'll probably just go with Tim Southee because that feels like the safer option, I think that the fact that Neesham has performed well in the previous game, I would say he keeps his spot in over Chapman, whether Chapman is fit or not. And that probably means that it gives you more of an option to play Ish, because you've got Neesham who can at least bowl some medium pace overs. And yeah, I think it'll depend a little bit on the pitch and whether they think what they think is in the pitch. I think and what they want to do. If they want to make South Africa bat second, if that's part of their plan, then maybe going in with an all out spin attack is the way to go and really just go, okay, well, what we want to do is bat first, put up a good score and really try and put the squeeze on South Africa later with Ish, with Mitch Santner, with Rutschen, with Glenn Phillips, with all of the options they've been able to have spin-wise throughout this tournament. Kane, I think we're probably still a game away, if at best, for Kane. I mean, you see him running the drinks out in that last game against Australia and he's still got that thumb pretty heavily strapped and, I have no idea. I didn't think he'd make this tournament, and he made the tournament. So my predictions on his health have been pretty shoddy to say the least. But, I think if I was them and there were any question marks, as much as I want to get this win, the one against Pakistan is probably more important, because South Africa beat us, they're probably in anyway, right? If we lose to Pakistan and that puts them back in the hunt there and means that it opens the door for Pakistan, for Afghanistan, for these other teams that are, not quite grabbing at the heels yet, but they could be if New Zealand loses again. So, yeah, I don't think it'd be Kane. I'd love to see it. I think if that happens, probably Will Young misses out again. You're not going to drop Rutschen and Ravindra. Glenn Phillips has struggled a little bit with the bat. I do have some concerns there, but obviously his impact with the ball and what he can do down there, it's a different thing. So, yeah, I do think if Kane, as soon as Kane is back in the side, it'll be Will Young missing out. But yeah, not quite there yet, I don't think.
Right. Okay. I agree with you. From what I've heard, I think that it will be, the most likely is that we'll see Tim Southey, if of those sort of trio, those two, and there's two in particular, Williamson and Southey. South Africa team news. It looks like Rabada will be back into the side, and then a decision needs to be made around or between Kutsia and Shamsi for who takes that final spot. I've actually really enjoyed watching Gerald Kutsia. I haven't really watched him before. He's taking wickets at crucial times, and he has a little bit of theatrics about him. Yeah. He's a little bit of he's theatrical, which makes you want to tune in when he's bowling. It's the old adage of you turn the TV on to watch Rabada and Jansen, and you end up staying for Kutsia. He really lights it up, doesn't he?
Oh yeah, no, he's fun, and Shamsi's fun as well, actually, with his with his celebrations. I hope we don't see too many of them from either of those bowlers. Again, I think that probably with Rabada coming back, likely to come back, New Zealand has been very good in terms of trying to pick bowlers to target, and probably Kutsia, Shamsi, whoever plays out of that will be one of the bowlers that they look at to try and get it stuck into. Again, it's probably going to come down to what the pitch conditions are. But yeah, it's nice for South Africa to, I think, feel like they have some options and have some legitimate options in terms of the way they balance their side in terms of their bowling attack. So yeah, look, I've been, you know, very impressed with what they've done so far in this tournament. I think they're going to be a tough ask. New Zealand has some great memories against South Africa. I don't know that any of that kind of comes into the thinking in terms of, you look at all the players that played in those games. There's not many left for New Zealand or for South Africa. But good memories for us as fans. And yeah, I hope we'll be making it another one tonight.
I'm gonna put you on the spot here. If you're the New Zealand team management and you win the toss, are you thinking that you don't want South Africa to go out there and set a score? You'd rather they chased, and you know, unless the conditions are going to completely favour one side of the ball from an innings perspective, you're choosing to bat first, right?
Absolutely, yeah, totally. I think I've said it a few times. I've been surprised at the number of teams that have actually bowled first in this tournament. I know teams seem to like to chase, and that's been the way that teams have tried to set up. But I think New Zealand does a good job of setting a target in terms of their batting and their bowling attack, I think, suits a side chasing against us. I think New Zealand, when they're at their best, are very good at building pressure and rotating their bowlers around, picking up wickets when they need to, and making a chase really difficult. And I think with the way that South Africa's gone about things in this tournament, you want to put them under pressure. And the best way to do that is to have scoreboard pressure. And I don't think that, unless conditions are really, really favourable to bowling up front, which doesn't seem like they will be from all reports. Yeah, I expect it to be a pretty good wicket that doesn't really give any of the bowlers anything to go with. So yeah, I'd be expecting that both sides will be looking to bat first if they win the toss.
Yeah, I completely agree. Just on the fact that, well, I think they've scored 300 plus seven times in a row batting first. That's an incredible. I think that's a record. That's incredible from South Africa from the back half of the Australian series. Maybe I'm not sure when it was, but when they are on, they are on. So it's going to be a very good match, no matter what happens.
That's probably a good place to leave it there. We'll be back again tomorrow to discuss what we hope is a very good match and what we hope is a New Zealand win for the two of us on here on the podcast. Thanks to everyone who has been tuning in, as we've been saying every single time in the last few shows. It's great if you can like and subscribe and comment on all of our different channels. It really does make a difference. And it's been great kind of seeing all the positive things come back. And we're really glad that you're enjoying these shows. Into November now, only a couple of weeks to go in this tournament. So it does start to feel like we are in the home stretch and sides now fighting for these semi-final spots and looking to be there at the business end. So enjoy the rest of your day. Enjoy whatever time it is in the morning, if nighttime, morning. Have a great day, and we'll see you all again tomorrow.
Sports Social Podcast Network.